Get your Bible out, your bulletin, and I'm going to be in Psalms 23. I've been talking about obstacles, and the one that I'm going to talk about to overcome today, y'all must be giving a whole lot of money, David. It's a long offering. I mean, y'all normally be like, "Dawg," they be like, "All right, well, praise God." Psalms 23, I'm going to go verse by verse, and I'm going to walk you through how David talked to us from the viewpoint of a shepherd, how we shall not want in any area of our lives. Somebody say this with me, no more lack. Normally when you think of lack, you think of financial reasons, and this is not the sermon. If you want to gold plate your driveway and you want a plane and all that stuff like that, and $100,000 in your mouth, and this is not about a Pastor Bentley fund. This is not that kind of thing where I'm talking about no more lack. What we're talking about is any area of your life, whether it be energy. I saw a mother with four kids, and one of them was just running circles around her when she was walking. And what she needed was strength. And I was praying that for her, and I'm praying that for her husband as well, because I can imagine what it was like. And if she has any kind of lack, man, that could be a tremendous thing. Anybody with kids in here, young kids in here, who know that it just tries your patience? You have to say things four times. They call your name 10 times, like, "I heard you twice." Like, you keep saying it. Like, you need God to help you overcome that lack there. So here's the thing. Through Jesus Christ, he is the difference maker in my life, so that I can have no lack, and I have to have a no-lack mindset. Lack is this. It's the gap between what you need and what you have. Lack is the gap, it's the first circle there, between what you need and what you have. And in every situation, God will give you exactly what you need. Whether you give presentations on your job, whether you're in school or wherever you are, your confidence. Before I would go make presentations, I would say, "God, I need you to step in." And God would always show up and show out, because he would make sure that I had no lack. Has anybody ever been a point in your life where you know you didn't have it to do, but somehow God showed up and stepped in? Somebody say, no lack. So you move from the point of lack to the point of where you're sufficient, where you have everything that you need, where God supplies all of your needs, you're fully operating with full energy, you're going forth with all the resources that you need. But then God wants to move you to a place of overflow. Somebody say overflow. Overflow is not just about you having a whole lot of stuff, but it's having you having enough to bless somebody else. Here's the challenge with many of us, because you're frustrated givers. You're giving what you do not have, and you are left without, and now you're mad at the person you're giving to because you're left with nothing. That's never the will of God. The will of God is that you give from the overflow of your heart, and when your heart is full, you got plenty to give. So today I'm going to challenge you through Psalms 23, where David wrote this psalm. He talked about the Lord being his shepherd. Can I tell you why David wrote this about being a shepherd? Because guess what he did for a living? He was a shepherd. If he was a basketball coach, he'd have wrote about coaching kids. If he was a cook, he'd talk about prepping food. If he was a banker, he talked about the economy. So he talked about God taking care of us from the vantage point of being a shepherd. Let's go to the first one here. It's on the back of your bulletin there. Psalms 23:1. It says this: "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want." The first thing that you have to have, you must have the right confession to overcome lack. And that confession is this: I shall not want. Can y'all say that with me? I shall not want. Come on, say it again. Say it again. Confession is not for God. It's for you. God doesn't need to be reminded of who he is, but there are times where you need to remind yourself and your situation of how great your God is. Because your situation is confessing to you. Your situation is telling you to be bitter. It's telling you to be upset. It's telling you to be depressed. It's telling you you're not going to make it. There are times when you talk back to your situation and say, "My God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory." So why can I confess that I shall not want? The first thing is this: I shall be supplied because heaven is not in recession. Philippians 4:19 says this: "But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Because heaven is never broke, God has more than enough for what I have in my life. As a preacher, I used to love him say this all the time: if you can have it, God can heal it. If you can break it, God can fix it. If you don't have enough, God has more than enough and will meet every need in your life. Can I get one witness in here that God will meet your needs? Second reason I can say this confession so boldly is that I can be supplied because God is my source and everything else is a resource. Psalms 24 and 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. A source is a place that you get your supply. And here's the thing about God being your source. God is rich in mercy. He's rich in grace, and he has an unlimited supply of everything you need. Look at your neighbor and say, everything you need, God's got it. Now, resource is this. A resource is God flowing who he is through an earthly vessel. If you look at the word resource, the first two letters are R-E. That R-E means again. So if you put your favorite song on repeat, it means play it again. So what a resource is God againing himself in every situation in your life. That's why I'm not nervous if stuff shuts down in my life, because if God did it before, he can do it again. Same God back then, same God right now. He has a way of always repeating himself. Can I have a station identification break? Has anybody ever been without a job? You ever been without and you sing God open doors that no man can close? Anybody ever seen a door shut in your face only to have God open two more doors? Because what you have is not the end of God's supply. You will never run God out. You will never run God dry because his supply is unlimited. Can I preach this to every person who's ever made a mistake in here? You didn't blow the kingdom. Heaven ain't broke because you made a mistake. God is smart enough not to give us all everything at one time. So he's got plenty, and it duplicates itself over time. Somebody say, God is my source. Everything else is a resource. Knowing that when one thing runs dry, don't you cry too many tears over that. I don't care how many doors shut. They can lay you off tomorrow. We're going to believe God by the end of the day, you're going to have three offers, and it's going to be a better job. You all right in here? I don't care what lack is in your life. God is your source. Oh, I'm going to get strong in here. Your heart goes bad. God is a healer. And he will repeat and restore your heart back to the place where he created it to be. Your back goes out. I'm believing God to restore it back to the place where he created it to be, because he is a God of many resources. You all right? The next one is Psalm 23 and 2 says this. He said, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. The next thing is this. You have to be led out of lack. Because if you're not led out of lack, you will create lack everywhere you go. Can I look at this scripture? It said, he makes me lie down in green pastures, not barren pastures. Is anybody tired of laying in broke places, barren places, places that don't produce, unproductive places that drain the energy out of you? God said, I'm going to make you lie down in green pastures. I live this out. We got a dog named Chloe. Somebody say Chloe. Chloe is about probably back this way. Just stretch your hands. Chloe needs prayer right now. Stretch your hands this way. I need God to touch my dog. One morning, about 4 o'clock in the morning, Barbara's a witness to this, Chloe woke up and was just scratching. She wouldn't go to sleep. She was moving from one place to the next place. And I said, now, you know what? I'm going to put this dog in the garage, so just let her scratch out there and let it just fall out. But then I thought that wouldn't be fair to the dog. Barbara said, you need to take that dog to the vet. I said, 4 in the morning, I took this dog to a veterinarian at 4 in the morning. I didn't know they had an emergency room for dogs. And $400 later, they were working on this dog. I'm like, she may have to go to sleep and never wake up. But that didn't happen that day, all right? So I went on and paid the doctor. And she had this rash over her body. Her heart wasn't good. And they said, we can't give her a steroid shot because her heart isn't good. I said, dog, you are a money pit right now. Dog just sitting there looking. They said, listen, here is a steroid that you're going to have to put on yourself. They put this big cone around the dog. And I walked out, and Chloe just walking in, just head bouncing all over the place, running into stuff. And they said, you're going to really like this part. They gave me a sedative. And they said, you got to give this to the dog so the medicine will work. Because they said, the moment you put that medicine on this dog, she's going to lick it off, and it's not going to have time to take place, to take his work. Can I tell you, God is the same way? Sometimes he has to make us lay down. When you get in God's word and you worship so strong, some of you have questions about God in here. You have questions about life. There's some stuff about God that I don't understand, but I trust him. And there are times he has to make me lay down in green pastures and say, Jason, I'm going to prove to you how God I am in your life. Anybody had one of them mamas that were just strong growing up? Your mama could just look at you and you knew exactly what she meant. Mama would look at us from the choir stand, and we'd be out there cutting up, and she'd say, I'm going to get you by the time we get home. And that feeling just come over. You just want to go home and take a nap. She would look at us and say, Jason, I'm going to make a believer out of you. Woo! And she did. I think God is speaking that same thing over our life. I'm going to make a believer out of you. Not that I have to prove myself, but because I am God, I'm going to show you that I'm God, and I change not. Can I tell you about green pastures? Green pastures just don't happen. There's a brother sitting in the room here. He gave me some fertilizer, and he said, spray this on your yard and just let it sit there. And, man, I got the brownest yard on the street right now. My yard's not doing too well. But he said, let warm weather kick in, and you'll see your yard turn around. Here's the thing about God. Some stuff you plant in one season, you don't reap it in the same season. You reap it in other seasons. There's some things that God wants you to do now that don't make any sense. But by the time you get where you go, oh, that's why you said cut them out of my life. Oh, that's why you said don't go there. That's why I didn't get this job, because you knew greater was coming. Here's the thing about God. He leads you in green pastures. And look at your neighbor and say, green pastures don't happen by accident. David was a shepherd, and watch this. In order for him to have a green pasture, he had to go take the rocks, the weeds, and all kind of stuff out of the pasture in order for his sheep to have a great place to lay. There are times in your life where you got to dig stuff up, all the bitterness, all the anger, all the anxiety, and God's just tilling your ground and planting an incredible seed of the word so that you can have green pastures. Then it says he leads me beside still waters. I thank God for quiet waters and not turbulent waters. I took a job once, and they had no training class. They just threw us out there and said, figure it out. Anybody had a job like that before? And they asked me about a month into it, talked to my boss, how do you feel like you're doing? I said, I feel like I'm drinking water out of a fire hydrant. Drinking water out of a fire hydrant, I'll take all your teeth out. Some of us feel like life is doing us that way right now. You feel like life is coming at you 90 miles an hour. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to make of this. But here's the thing about God. He will turn every turbulent water into quiet and still waters if you let him. I want to confess this over your life. God is about to turn every place that you dwell in into a green pasture and still waters. God's about to turn your home, your job, your marriage, your money, everything connected into you into green pastures and still waters. Anybody want God to do that? Say, God, give me green pastures and still waters in Jesus' name. The next thing is this. Psalms 23:3 says this. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You must get lack out of you so that it won't guide you. For many of us, our guide is lack. Why does he have to restore my soul? Because lack is a condition of the soul. And you will prosper no more than your soul is prospering. What is your soul? It's your mind, your will, and your emotions. And to the degree that you're healthy in those areas, you'll see prosperity. I got Bible on that. 3 John 1:2 says this. Beloved, I pray that in all things you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Many of us got healthy spirits, but we got sick minds. We got minds that cause us to stay up all night. Your spirit is saying we healed. Your spirit is saying we're going to be all right, but your mind is saying it don't make sense to me. Your mind is thinking you into a depression. Your emotions are all over the place, and you got pride just crazy. Your will is just going nuts, and God said, I need you to have a healthy soul. I want to touch your mind, your will, and your emotions so you can prosper in every area of your life. The next thing he said, he leads me in paths of righteousness, guides me for his name's sake. Paths of righteousness are not literal paths. It's a way of doing things. David said in Psalms 37:25, I was young and now I'm old. Yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. You have a commitment from God that when you take his path, you will never be forsaken and your seed will never beg bread. Anybody got children in here? You can believe God that all the days of their life, everything is taken care of. Their health, their mental capacities, their college, if they decide to go to college, whatever they do, my children will never beg bread. You can say, God, I don't know how I'm going to take care of all of this. My children will never beg bread, and I will never be forsaken, so I'll never have to be nervous. The next thing is this, Psalms 23 and 4. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You got to decide to live in every situation. Many people don't think they're living until everything is perfect. But right now, in the middle of your crazy situation, look at your neighbor and say, you can live. Here's the part I love about living. It says you walk through your valleys. You don't run, you walk. There's a movie out now called Get Out. And the other day I looked on social media and Phil, which is our bass player, went from the back door, ran 90 miles an hour down the aisle and just dove on the stage. And in my mind, I see a picture of that's what many of us are doing in our life. You're letting fear run you. You're letting fear get the best of you. And you're not living because you're running. But here's the thing about your valleys. You walk through your valleys. I think everybody ought to have a superhero, somebody to look up to in their life. I got one in the form of my dad. I look up to God. He's my heavenly father. He's a good father. But I got a daddy. And daddy used to walk. And daddy has one of the smoothest walks. My daddy's right here on the second row right here. Come on, Phil, help me out here. Daddy used to walk down Madison Street, and I'd be winded. Daddy just, I can't breathe, and daddy just smooth walking. Just are your feet touching the ground? No, Here's the reality. You're going through hell in your life right now. You're running 90 miles an hour. You need to just stop. You need to just let it just flow out of you. You need to just let whatever God's place. Quit running and walk through your valley. It's not always going to be like this, but you're too smooth to be erratic. You got too much in you to be running scared. It's time that you walk through it and see the goodness of the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to walk your valley. It's in your valley that God proves himself. It's in your valley that you see how strong you are. It's in your valley that you see God's strength be made perfect in your weakness. It's in the valley where you fight your toughest battles. It's in the valley where God shows up and shows out. It's in the valley where you don't know how God's going to bring you out. But some way, somehow, you see God bring you through. Somebody say, walk your valley. Is there anybody tired of running scared? You're running from one paycheck to the next, one bill to the next, one day to the next. And God said, set your feet and walk through your valley. Y'all sit down for a minute. You're going to wake up in the morning and you ready. You ain't going to speak to nobody on your job. You sit in your cube and don't like nobody. But tomorrow, you're going to walk in. I'm walking through my valley. No. You criticize, ostracize. Do you not know that God is not nervous about your situation? The Bible said he's seated on his throne, and your situation don't make him get up. He said, I don't care what happens. I'm not going to stop being God, so you don't stop being who you are. Nothing's going to change me. They've questioned him for years. But watch this. He's still God. So if he's going to sit on the throne, I'm going to walk through my valley. He said, I walk through my valley. He said, I will fear no evil. The threat of lack is all around you. But there may be a recession, but you don't have to participate. There may be depression, but you don't have to fall to it. Temptation may be on your right and your left. You may be right about to cuss somebody out, but you don't have to participate in that because you will fear no evil, for God is with you. He said, my rod and my staff, they comfort you. Your rod, they compared it to a commentary, said, it's the gospel. The gospel is what corrects you. The gospel is what directs you. The gospel is what defends you. So every shepherd has a rod to correct you, to defend you, and to put you in the right path. Then he said he has a staff, thy rod and thy staff. A staff is a longer version of a rod, and it has that hook on the end. That hook is what it used to bring sheep in when the sheep get far away from them. You ever been about to mess up and felt God pulling you back in? Some of you could have been right there in that moment. They begin to sing about a good, good father. And you felt something pulling your heart back in. You about ready to cuss out everybody on your job, but love just pulled you back in. You're questioning everything in life, and God is not concerned with your questions because his love will pull you in.
God will prove himself to you over and over again because his rod and his staff, they comfort you. Let's go to verse 25, and we're almost home. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Anybody got enemies in here? He said, you have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. You have to shift your focus from what you don't have to what you do have. Three things you have in this scripture. You got to prepare a table. You got an anointing. And you got a cup that overflows. You got to focus on your prepared table. Jar, can you come again? Alvarez, can you bring that table right beside it? Clear it out for me. Just clear it out for me. Jar, come up here so everybody can see you. We're preparing the table before you. I got you covered this week. Dunkin' Donuts, anybody like that? I got a table before you. And it would seem like it would be enough for you to eat. Chap, can you come? Cedric, be the big bad wolf again. Sheep had to eat in the presence of danger. Can you imagine trying to eat as a sheep and you can't defend yourself and wolves circling you? Can y'all just circle me? You trying to enjoy what God has? Y'all don't take a donut, just circle it. And God is saying this. Some of you right now in the middle of crazy situations, and you can't eat because you don't have an appetite because your enemies are circling you. But God says, all I want you to focus on is the table because I'm going to fight your battle. One wolf, I need you to sit down. Chap, I need you to go back to your seat as well. Some of you are letting stuff rob you of your appetite that has nothing to do with your life because you're focused on your enemy and not your table. Some of you got wolves on your jobs. You got wolves in every part of your life. And those wolves have taken your focus, and God has enough nerve to put a table in front of you. Can I tell you why you shouldn't worry about your enemies? Because your enemies are dying anyway, and why would you focus on killing something that's already dead? I made a declaration in my life, I'm not going to let something that didn't prepare my table take my appetite. If you got enough nerve, God, to prepare my table in the presence of my enemy, I'm going to enjoy it in the middle of pressure. I'm going to enjoy it in the middle of all kind of anxiety because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And you have prepared this table before me in the presence of my enemy. And if my enemy's not going to leave, they're going to get one of the greatest shows in their life because they're going to see what God can do through an imperfect man who has issues but just says yes to God. Whatever you want to do in my life, I'm going to allow you to do it right in the presence of my enemies. I'm going to take my donuts back. You can have the table. Some of you right now, you can't focus. You can't sleep. You can't eat. You can't really do your job. The wolf may be your supervisor. The wolf may be your coworker. It may be someone in your family. But God says, don't you be concerned with your enemies. Your focus is your prepared table, and the next focus is your anointing. God has anointed your head with oil. He set you apart and empowered you to do something so you have nothing missing, nothing lacking, and nothing broken. Say that with me. I have nothing missing. I have nothing lacking. I have nothing broken because I'm anointed for this. I don't care what your this is. You are anointed for this. Then you got to focus on your cup. I don't care what anybody else's cup is doing. Your cup is going to overflow. And you're going to have enough for you and everything connected to you. Everybody connected to you is going to eat. And you're not going to have to live life depleted, playing catch up. Because God is going to restore everything in your life and cause you to overflow. Somebody say overflow. The last point is this. It said, surely goodness and mercy or loving kindness would follow me all the days of my life. And I would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You have to permanently change your expectation and your residence. Lax expectation, if it can interpret the scripture, would say this. Surely evil and disadvantage and acts of meanness and cruelty shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of hell forever. Expectation doesn't say that. Expectation says surely. Somebody say with me, surely. Surely means it's got to happen. chilling doesn't mean I'm questioning it. I'm not wondering. You can doubt in your head, but I'm not doubting in my heart. Surely said, my God's going to bring me through. Surely says, God is going to bring me out. It says, surely goodness, the best of everything, and mercy, loving kindness, God's favor with him and man all day long, shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'll dwell in this place. It's my decision. We're going to worship God with one of my favorite songs. He's an everlasting God. Psalms 27 and 1 says this, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When wicked, even my enemies advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, to seek in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he will hide me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me upon his rock. Because God is my shepherd, I have permanently changed my expectation and my residence. And I am confident that I will see the goodness of the Lord. I don't care what your life looks like right now. You sit down and eat, because he's prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemy. He has anointed you, and you're about to overflow in every area of your life. We want to sing this over your life. I want you to stand and worship with us if you want to. But I'm believing God, you're going to have no lack in any part of your life.